11. Some bits of our personal lives are best kept private. For example, I keep goat's cheese in the fridge because it's from goats, not cows, so as far as I'm concerned, it's not dairy and it doesn't affect my thyroid. But I don't announce it. Most of Morwell wouldn't give a shit anyway. All I'm saying is that we should respect private life. So I understand why, when Erin Patterson decided to do something about herself, she didn't announce it from the rooftops. It's difficult to know exactly what was going through her mind, but the evidence suggests that she was feeling uncomfortable with her body. And to address the issue, on the 28th of May 2023, she quietly called the Enrich Clinic in Melbourne and booked an appointment for early July. But she had a minor car accident a few days beforehand and decided to prioritise fixing her car. So the appointment was rescheduled for the 13th of September. These decisions and her acceptance of such a delay didn't seem to support the idea that there was any desperate urgency behind her desire for self-improvement. Not that I'm denying the reality of the appointment. Go, Erin. She had reached breaking point with her weight, so she put on her big girl pants and took charge of things. Good on her. Unfortunately, the events that occurred between the 28th of May and the 13th of September were so tragic and unusual that they would become a global light show. Erin would never even get to the appointment. From the forensic evidence given to the jury, there's not much to say about the early weeks of June. There was an exchange of text messages between Erin and Don on the 2nd of June, but we don't know what those messages were. However, at some point, Erin decided to host a lunch at her house at Gibson Street on Saturday, the 24th of June. Simon Patterson's evidence about that lunch was sketchy, to say the least. You were invited to lunch at Erin's in June 2023, is that correct? Asked Nanette. Yes, I was invited to a lunch at Erin's place in... I think the lunch was going to be in June, and that was to be with Mum and Dad and Jack and Bronte, our kids and me, answered Simon. What, if anything, was communicated to you as to the purpose of the lunch? I don't remember there being a purpose communicated. On the 12th of June, Simon declined the invitation by text. Hi, Erin, wrote Simon. Thank you for your kind lunch invite together with Mum and Dad. I'm sorry, I'll decline as I feel too uncomfortable about it. Uncomfortable? What did that mean? I wondered. What was that lunch about? Even when Erin gave evidence about this lunch, she was vague about the purpose. I had become a little worried that perhaps I was... that there might be some distance growing between me and the Patterson family. You know, maybe I wasn't sure if there was a gathering or two that I hadn't been invited to, and I realised around May, June, that I probably needed to be more proactive about that social contact to make sure I didn't lose that connection. All of which was entirely understandable if you take it at face value. And we had to, even though the evidence we had heard suggested that while the distance might well have been growing between Erin and Simon, Erin had actually been getting on quite well with Don and Gail. And Erin confirmed that seconds later. What was your relationship like with Don and Gail in June of 2023? Was Colin's next question. It was very good, answered Erin. We, the jury, neither saw nor heard anything to contradict that. Shepherd's pie, which did not include mushrooms, was on the menu on the 24th of June 2023. At the table were Erin, Don, Gail, Jack and Bronte, plus Jack's best mate from school, who we'll call Barnaby, again not his real name. From all reports, which were admittedly few, a fun time was had by all. The house was in good shape. The landscaped gardens had begun to grow, and Gail casually commented to Erin that her sister Heather would love this garden. At the lunch, Erin mentioned she had a lump on her elbow that she was worried about, and she had booked a medical appointment to check it out in a few days' time. Gail later dutifully wrote in her diary for the 28th of June, "Erin, St. Vincent's, arm lump." In the early evening of the 28th of June, Gail texted Erin, "Hi, Erin, just wondering how you got on at your appointment today." Erin responded the next day, "Hi, Gail, sorry, I'd taken Bronte to see a movie last night. We saw The Little Mermaid. The appointment went okay. Thanks for asking. I had a needle biopsy taken of the lump, and I'm returning for an MRI next week and will know more after the results of those two things." Gail responded that evening, "That's a test of patience, isn't it? Praying you'll know God's peace." A week later, on the 6th of July, the day after Erin had said she was having the MRI, Gail texted again. "Hi, Erin, how did you get on yesterday with your medical tests? Love, Don and Gail." "There's a bit to digest with everything that's come out of it all," responded Erin. "I might talk about it with you both when I see you in person. Love, Erin." The next time Erin saw them in person was at Corranborough Baptist Church on Sunday, the 16th of July, 2023. Ian Wilkinson delivered the sermon that day, and his wife Heather, as well as Don, Gail, Simon and Erin, were all there. After the service, Erin first talked to Gail and Heather, and then to Simon. The headline facts are not in dispute. Erin invited Gail and Don and Ian and Heather to lunch on the 29th of July. Then she found Simon, who had just finished shutting down the sound system, his weekly responsibility, and invited him to the same lunch. That all sounds clear enough. But exactly what she said and why she was inviting them to lunch would be a point of contention for the next 2 years. We had three witnesses. Ian Wilkinson told us what he could remember his wife Heather saying about Erin extending the invitation. Then we heard Simon Patterson recount what he remembered Erin saying, and then we had Erin's own recollection. Ian Wilkinson is the sort of Christian who gives Christianity a good name, which is such a low bar that it's puzzling why so many Christians still fail to clear it, at least in my own jaundiced opinion. But Ian had it covered. One jump and he was over. In the witness box, he was polite, sincere, gentle, and tolerant. A good man, a humble man. Didn't get my juices flowing, let's not get too carried away, but he was a decent bloke. Ian remembered that Heather had met him in the body of the church that day. She came through from the hall and told me that we'd been invited to Erin's home for a meal. Heather was fairly excited and said it was good news. I can't really remember the detail. There was no reason given for the lunch, and I remember talking to Heather, wondering, why the sudden invitation? Bloody good question, in my humble opinion, because although Heather was Gail's sister, and Erin had known Ian and Heather as extended family members for 18 years, Erin had never before personally invited Ian and Heather to her place for a meal. Ever. Until now, this was a first. "We were very happy to be invited," Ian continued. It seemed like maybe our relationship with Erin was going to improve. But now, what about Simon's recollection of this invitation to the lunch of the century? Erin approached me while I was just sitting at the laptop, sound mixing desk. She came and said that she had some important medical news about herself, that she wanted some advice on how to break that to the kids. So she was inviting Mum and Dad and Heather and Ian and me to lunch to discuss that topic and would I be able to come. She said she was keen for it not to be with the kids, that they weren't going to be there because she wanted to talk about this. What's the word? This serious matter. How did Simon respond? I was a bit reluctant, but I ultimately agreed and said, "Yep, that should be okay," or something like that. Later that afternoon, Simon caught up with his parents and the subject of Erin's lunch invitation came up. Simon wondered what Don and Gail had been told. They didn't know the purpose of the lunch and they were intrigued about why they were invited and why Ian and Heather were invited. Simon recounted what Erin had told him about some medical issues and she wanted some advice or a discussion about how to tell the children. That made sense to Don. Now he could see it. In Simon's words, he told me that he knew Erin had been having some tests, like medical tests, because of a lump or some kind of problem with her elbow. So he'd said, you know, there was a potential that that was a cancer, and so he said, maybe it's related to that. All of that sounded perfectly reasonable. Then Erin told her version, which was kind of the same, but not quite. Colin was asking the questions. It was all open, no tricks. The kids and I had had such a good time seeing Nana and Papa on the 24th of June, said Erin, that I wanted to do it again. And when they had come on the 24th of June, Gail had commented on how nice the garden looked and how Heather would probably really like to see it. And so I thought, well, I'll invite them too. Heather and Ian have been really good to me over the years. I wanted to have some more connection with them, so I invited them all. No reason, just please come to lunch. And that was confirmed by the testimony of both Ian and Simon. They were all family. Do you want to come over for lunch? Sure, sounds great, thanks. But Erin's relationship with Simon was strained. He was less likely to accept a simple invitation. A casual, want to come over, probably wouldn't cut it. I can understand that too. Erin's recollection of that conversation shifts things around a little. I didn't give him a reason for the lunch, but in our conversation I said to him there were a couple of medical things I'd like to talk to him about, and maybe we could do it when he came on the day of the lunch. How did you describe those medical things? Asked Colin. I think that's the strongest language I used, some medical things or some health things, said Erin. Under cross-examination from Nanette, Erin denied she had ever said to Simon that the lunch was about wanting to discuss a medical issue and how to break that to the kids. In the blink of an eye, we were in he said, she said territory. Who to believe? In that situation, how can you decide? Or does it matter? Well, I think it did, because it all fed into the intention. This would become a lunch for the ages, but what really was the intention behind it? Every day, as jurors, we were playing through these different narratives. Does this make sense? Does that make sense? But I wanted to stay on the path of a tragic accident, which, you know, frankly, secretly, I was leaning towards while anything resembling a motive was still so elusive. On that path, and up until now, Erin had innocently bought a dehydrator and gone foraging. Also, when she had stayed at Mount Waverley with her kids during the April school holidays, she had possibly picked up a bag of dried mushrooms from an Asian grocer. Those dried mushies were in one Tupperware container. Her foraged dehydrated mushrooms were in another Tupperware container, or two. Both containers were at the back of her pantry at 84 Gibson Street, Leongatha, and Erin was oblivious to the biological loaded gun she had in her kitchen. She had no idea what she had accidentally collected and stored. That's the tragic accident world we were in at the moment. In that world, on the 16th of July, Erin had just asked some close family members over to lunch to build bridges, to stay connected. That's what she said. And it had been a rough year. Erin had taken Jack and Bronte out of the Christian school they had been attending and had started them in a new secular school literally that week. Erin had made that decision back in March, but it was only happening now in July. Given that, maybe relations with the wider family were just a little tense, and maybe they did need healing. Maybe, in those circumstances, Erin's urge to ensure she still had a place in the tribe was big. Did they still accept her? And although she didn't want to overplay her health issues, the lump on her elbow, the biopsy, the MRI, and the results of all those tests was a card she could always play if it helped her achieve her goal. Everyone plays the sympathy card now and then, so she could genuinely hint at medical issues, and it seems, at the very least with Simon, she did. With the guest list settled, Erin wanted to make this a special lunch. She was keen to do something fancy. But what? According to Erin, she went through quite a long list of possible menus and rejected them all. Then she remembered, as a kid, when her mother had hosted dinner parties and wanted to cook something with a wow factor, she had inevitably turned to one standout dish, a beef Wellington. By now, in the year 2023, it was maybe a touch old-fashioned, but it was still a culinary statement, and Erin had a recipe for it in her Recipe Tin Eats cookbook. She asked her Facebook group what they thought, and many of her girlfriends could remember their own mothers cooking beef Wellingtons, and they were happy to provide tips to give Erin her best shot at nailing it. So beef Wellington it was. On Sunday, the 23rd of July, the prep work began. At Woolies, Erin bought 2 500-gram packets of sliced mushrooms, 1 kilo of Woolworths puff pastry sheets, a pack of Art of Pastry frozen phyllo sheets, and French shallots. On Thursday, the 27th of July, she was back at Woolies buying more pastry, 2 more packets of sliced mushrooms, and 4 packs of beef eye fillet steaks. She had been looking for 1 big log of beef eye fillet, but when Woolies didn't have one, her FB buddies were quick to okay her decision to make individual portions. On Friday, she bought even more pastry, mashing potatoes, green beans, and fillet steaks. It was looking like she had bought enough for an entire dummy run of the whole lunch. But everything was going to plan until, to Erin's annoyance, on that evening of Friday, the 28th of July, the night before the lunch, at 6:48 p.m., she received a text from Simon. "Sorry, I feel too uncomfortable about coming to lunch with you, Mum, Dad, Heather and Ian tomorrow. But I'm happy to talk about your health and implications of that at another time. If you'd like to discuss on the phone, just let me know." 1 minute later, Erin replied, "That's really disappointing. I've spent many hours this week preparing lunch for tomorrow, which has been exhausting in light of the issues I'm facing, and spent a small fortune on beef eye fillet to make beef Wellingtons because I wanted it to be a special meal, as I may not be able to host a lunch like this again for some time. It's important to me that you're all there tomorrow and that I can have the conversations that I need to have. I hope you'll change your mind." Simon never responded. On my cold little seat in the juror's box, I was infuriated. "I feel too uncomfortable about coming." What did that mean? Uncomfortable. That was the second time he'd used that word with no explanation. But, yet again, no one asked the question. And this time I felt the question was echoing all around the courtroom. Wasn't everyone interested? Wasn't it the obvious follow-up question? And then I realized the other charges. At the beginning of the trial, Erin had faced an additional 3 attempted murder charges against Simon that the DPP had dropped at the last second. I'd forgotten about them, and while I had no idea what the details were, I couldn't believe things like that could get as far as the eve of a Supreme Court murder trial without some substance. Do I look like an idiot? It was starting to make sense. Simon had backed out of Erin's lunch on the 24th of June, and here he was, once more, too uncomfortable to go to this lunch. He thought this whole elaborate special lunch for 6 much-loved family members was just a ruse to kill him. Again, I betcha. I know we had been told at the beginning of the trial to put those dropped charges out of our minds, but I'm sorry. If it leads to a situation like this, where the blindingly obvious question never gets asked, that's just legal nonsense. Up until this point, I had been keeping an open mind with a slight leaning towards Team Erin, but I had been listening carefully to everything, and the question now was, what was the purpose of the lunch? Had it been to kill Simon? Who knows? Minus more evidence, let's park that. The lunch went ahead without him anyway. Or was it simply to forge deeper bonds with the only family that Erin felt she had any connection with? Very plausible. I can relate to that. But then why did Simon so clearly think part of the reason for lunch was to discuss her health? And why did Erin say she had a couple of medical things I'd like to talk to him about? Was her intention to create a safe and private space where she could share the problems ahead, given her health issues? I would buy that. I really would. Except that Steve Eppingstall ultimately proved, and Erin sheepishly conceded, that she had had no lump on her elbow. There was no consultation. There was no biopsy. There was no MRI. And there were no results to discuss. All of that, the whole thing, was a fabricated lie.